Well, if you got your Bible, turn to James chapter 3. I hope you've had a wonderful spring break. School starts tomorrow. Boo, right? Boo. Boo. If you're an adult, it's yay. Unless you're a teacher, it's boo, right? So it's mixed emotions around here. I don't know about your week, but our spring break was wonderful. It's always good to just get a few days to spend with your family and go and do some things together. And we got to do that this week. And we traveled over to Dallas and did Fort Worth Stockyard and did the Great Wolf Lodge. And me and the big boys went and slaughtered some turkeys in West Texas, which God was all over that. And it was a wonderful time. We got back early this morning to be here to worship the Lord. And so we've had a great week. Not much of a break, but we had a week, a great spring break week. So I hope you did too. Well, in James chapter 3, James, the half-brother Jesus, is going to remind you a lot of his older brother today when he talks about the subject in chapter 3. Because what James is going to do is what the Lord Jesus did a lot of times in his teaching, is that he would take a picture from life and he would use that picture to illustrate something practical for you and I to pick up, something that he would have us to apply to our life. And so James is going to do that. And so when we walk through this passage today, 12 verses in chapter 3, we're going to see a lot of illustrations, and with those illustrations will come a warning or an application. And so what James is wanting to do is for you and I to see this in a very real sense, but then to apply it to our lives. Because listen, as we study the book of James, we remember this. James is teaching to his church members who have been scattered all throughout Judea and Samaria, out of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, because of persecution and the fear of persecution. And so James is writing them a letter to encourage them, but to challenge them to continue living a life of faith wherever they are, regardless of their circumstances, to live a life that follows Jesus with their life. And so here's the main purpose of James. He is communicating in very practical ways how you and I can live in this world, though we're waiting for the next. Kingdom of God citizens here on this earth, aliens, pilgrims, living here, waiting for home. Okay, so that's the main purpose. So James is about to give us some really practical information here about the meanest member in our church. Look around. Look at them. Look at who you're sitting next to. Could it be them? I'm going to tell you who the meanest member in our church is today. You've been waiting for this, haven't you? I can tell you what. I know them. I know them really well. The meanest member at First Baptist Halton resides inside your mouth. The meanest member of the body here is a member of the body, your own physical body. James tells us the thing that you and I cannot control without the Holy Spirit's help is our tongue. And what I love, the Holy Spirit in places in the Bible gives us a complete understanding or definition of certain topics. If say you wanted to find out about prophecy, specifically end time events, obviously you could go to the book of Revelation, but a concise study of end time prophecy, Jesus taught about that in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. You could go to chapter 24 and chapter 25, and the Holy Spirit has revealed unto you and I a complete topic of prophecy in those two verses. Say you and I wanted to learn about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us when he comes to take up residence in our life. We could turn to three chapters in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. And the Holy Spirit gives us an overview of the Spirit's gifts that He offers and gives to believers. In James chapter 3, the Holy Spirit gives us a topic, and He will divulge it completely in these 12 verses. So if you got your Bible, we're not going to read it all the way through. Let's just kind of walk through it and discuss it as we go. There's going to be four things that I want you to see about the tongue that James is going to reveal to us. So look in verse 1 of James chapter 3. Listen to what it says. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Now what James is saying is that you and I are going to be held accountable for every word that comes out of our mouth. Now, you say, well, I don't teach, but you do. All of us do. All of us teach those who follow us. I hope you are. You and I are called to be disciple makers. We're called to take people further along in their relationship with Christ. Now, some of us are teaching not how to live for Jesus, but how not to live for Jesus. And what the Holy Spirit is saying through the pen of James is that all of us will give an account as believers how we led those who were following us. What about our kids? What about our grandkids? The things that we say idly, the words that come out of our mouth without a whole lot of thought. That all of us will teach, and all of us have somebody that's listening to the things that come from our mouth. And so James is saying here, all of us will be held accountable for those things that proceed from our mouth. Now, verse 3, listen to what he says. Indeed, here's two illustrations. We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look what he says in verse 4. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Now, here's the first thing I want you to write down. First of all, the tongue, the unbridled tongue. What is an unbridled tongue? What does it sound like? What type of mouth is an unbridled, occupies an unbridled tongue? Listen to this type of mouth. It is a mouth without submission. You and I would he gives us two illustrations, one from nature and one from navigation. The first one of nature is a bit that we'd put in a horse's mouth. That bit is, there's reins attached to both sides of that bit. You tug on either side of those reins, that horse is either going to turn to the right or to the left. I remember when I was growing up, Daddy had bought a horse, and her name was High Serenity. She was a quarter horse. She came out of a line of champion cutting horses. And so this horse, I'm talking about fast on her feet. She was agile. She could move. Daddy never would let me ride her, but there was a friend of his that had some horses that we would go on rides. Daddy would ride High Serenity, and I would always get the pregnant ones. They always went a little bit slower, you know what I'm saying? And I can remember we'd go out and we'd spend the weekend and we'd camp out and we'd go on rides through all of the weekend and we'd have campfires and we'd spend the night out there and I can remember I'd get that old pregnant horses running, you know? And as a little boy, I'd be running. Daddy would be running his horse in front of me, and my brother, and there would be a tree. And I don't know if it was my ADD. I don't know what it was, but I never could decide. I nearly run that horse right in the middle of that tree. I could never decide which side of the tree I wanted to go on. I would pull those reins off to the right, and we decided, no, I just changed my mind and pull it. And I nearly run that pregnant horse right into the middle of a tree. But you know, the slightest little tug on those reins, that bit inside that horse, it's just a little bar inside their mouth. That little bitty motion, that little bitty tug to one side would move that entire large animal. James is saying, look at this as an illustration. The tongue is it's uncontrollable. It's unbridled. Just like this horse that's got a bit in its mouth. That little bitty bit, that small little tongue in your mouth controls the direction of your life. The rudder on the back of a huge ship. That captain of that ship gets to determine which direction that ship's going to go. And all he does is he turns it, and that little bitty rudder changes the direction of that massive ship. Church, this is a message. James is encouraging his church people who are out, who could become negative based upon the circumstances that they would find themselves in. That these people were, because of fear of persecution, had literally gone out as refugees trying to find a shelter in places that were not their home. Maybe they were living for some time with friends or family. But I'll tell you, house guests are only good for a short amount of time. Amen? If you're grandparents, you know this. The sweetest lights of Christmas are tail lights, right? When they're leaving the house. Now, house guests are best in short periods of time. And so you can imagine the circumstances that the body of Christ, that James has been called the pastor, all of the circumstances they're in. They're living with in-laws. They're living with outlaws. They're living with friends. They're living wherever they can. They're surrounded by the difficulties of the circumstances that they're in. And an unbridled tongue. He said, listen, you've got to be careful. Amen. Because that tongue, that little member in your body, it boasts. Here's the warning. It boasts big things. And in fact, that word boast means to stretch out the neck. How about that picture? What to boast, to be haughty. He said, listen, an unbridled tongue determines the direction of a life, just like the rudder and just like the bit determine the direction of the ship and determine the direction of the horse. That little member in your mouth as a believer will determine the direction of your life. I don't know about you, but that's powerful. When you and I realize the words that come out of our mouth speak the direction of our lives. Are you hearing me? I mean, I got home at 2 a.m. I'm the most tired of anybody in here. And I'm still awake, all right? Do you and I really realize the words that come out of our mouth steer the direction of our life? James is warning us, if you and I have a tongue, a mouth that is unbridled, then we go in whatever direction, watch this, that Satan desires for us to go. So every one of these illustrations James is going to give us, I want you to compare a body, a life, a person filled with the Holy Spirit and a person who is living consumed by the flesh. Satan's winning. The decisions and the direction of that life lived filled with the flesh as compared to a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the second one. That's an unbridled tongue, a mouth without submission. Look at verse 5, the second part of verse 5. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Now, the story of the Great Chicago Fire. I know you've heard the story and maybe even some folklore that surrounds the Great Chicago Fire. But one of the stories is that across the river, that in Miss O'Leary's farm, that there was a cow that was in the barn and a lantern was left in the barn, and in the middle of the night, Miss O'Leary's cow kicked over that lantern, igniting hay that was in that barn, burning that barn to the ground. A wind would come across that farm, literally moving the fire across the river into downtown Chicago, and downtown Chicago would be decimated by the Great Chicago Fire. Thousands of people would lose their lives. Millions of dollars in property damage. All because of one little fire in a barn kicked over by a cow. Isn't that amazing? What a little spark can do, it's literally, it's uncontrollable. Look at this illustration that James says. He uses a fire. This is the uncontrollable tongue. And the uncontrollable tongue is found in a mouth without discipline. A mouth without discipline. The spreading of the fire. James would go on to say the application here, the warning here, is a tongue like that, it defiles, it destroys, and it's demonic. It's set on fire by hell. Now let's just get practical. What kind of tongue is James talking about when he talks about an uncontrollable tongue? We talked about this two Wednesday nights ago. We talked about how oftentimes us as Baptists, when we hear of somebody's issues, our way of telling other people's business in a spiritual manner is to do that as a prayer request. Oh, you heard about so-and-so's marriage, haven't you? We really need to pray for them. Bless God. Do you realize the definition of gossip? If you and I are not part of the problem or part of the solution, the only person you and I should talk to about that is Jesus. Now get your pen out. We did this two Wednesday nights ago because some of us get confused when we hear scoop and we hear stuff. Now, the uncontrollable tongue, that's the one that's like a fire. And when you and I get a story and we get something that's juicy and we have to spread that gossip, we want to spread it, we want to share. Now, it's just a prayer request. It's innocent. It's a bless their heart kind of thing. I hate they're going through this. But listen, if you're not part of the issue, if you're not part of the problem or the solution, the only ears that should hear that is Jesus's ears. Amen? And we have a saying at my house. I've shared this with you before. Charlie Whitfield used to be a deacon here. He and Melinda moved off, but Charlie Whitfield would often say, listen, I just shoe horses and mind my own business. So something comes up in my house that really doesn't have anything to do with us. I just tell them, I say, I just shoe horses and mind my own business. I've never shoed a horse in my life. But you know what I do? I just try to mind my own business. So sometimes I have to remind people that, hey, somebody tells me something, this is a good thing too. Those aren't my monkeys and that ain't my circus. Amen? If I'm not part of the problem, or if I'm not part of the solution, I have nothing to do with that. James is saying, as believers, you and I need to keep our mouth shut. Because you and I will do more harm than good. Now, I'll be honest with you. What I wish I could say is, James is not talking about church folks. He's talking about the world. But I want you to know something. This is like a greenhouse for gossip in here. I mean, this is where it goes on, right? The uncontrollable tongue finds itself in a mouth that is undisciplined. Church, I want you to see the illustration of how a tongue like that destroys. It destroys lives. It destroys friendships. It destroys fellowship. It destroys testimonies. It destroys our witness. It is set on fire by hell, James says. And sadly, that tongue takes up residence in many of our mouths. Different times in our life. And if that's something that you struggle with, how do I gain victory over an uncontrollable tongue? The only way to gain victory is submit to the filling of the Holy Spirit. I am either filled with the Holy Spirit or I am living in the flesh. And when I am telling other people's business, I am living in the flesh and not being filled by the Spirit. Amen? Y'all still like me? I don't even care. I don't. I love you. That's why I'm sharing this with you. All right? You know there's three forms of communication, don't you? Telephone, telegram, telebaptist. Amen? All right, look at verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird, y'all thought I was going to say tell a woman, but I'm telling you what. It ain't women. Men are bad as women are. Women get the rap. But I'm telling you, men are as bad as they come when it comes to gossiping. All right, let's keep going. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Listen to this. James says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. The untamed tongue. I hope you're writing these down. The unbridled tongue, the uncontrolled tongue, and now James is looking at the untamed tongue. The untamed tongue is in a mouth without a filter. You got a tongue like that? Boy, I'll be honest with you. This could be my tongue sometimes. You ever get in those things where it's just like, golly, you know? I speak before I think. Or the moment I think, I speak. It's just like there's nothing there that keeps it. Now, all four of these, all of us are going to struggle with one or some of all four of these types of tongues. But this one, golly, this one is the one that I struggle with. And here's the deal. I'll tell you the worst part of this one. You know, a gossiping tongue, it's hard to apologize for. Because it's really hard to apologize to everyone and a gossiping and uncontrolled tongue hurts. You'd have to get up publicly and apologize for for something that was spoken in an uncontrolled manner, an undisciplined tongue. But this one, this unfiltered, a mouth that's unfiltered, this one is the one that oftentimes at night, and it's always Sunday night, I lay down at night and I think, man, I shouldn't have said that. It's never on in the message, but it's always one-on-one. And generally, it's a poor attempt at humor. You ever find yourself doing that? It just, man, it just is a poor attempt at trying to get a laugh. And maybe I said something that I felt like offended someone or hurt somebody's feelings. And at the moment, it just never comes to me. But when I'm quiet, the Holy Spirit just begins to deal with me on a time where I let my mouth run when the filter wasn't working. James says, hey, listen, every animal's been tamed. You know, really the word tame is the same word meek. It's what you do with a horse when it's wild and you have to break it in order to ride it. You meek it. It's the word. To break a horse is to break its wild spirit in order for it to be used and to have a purpose. Now, it literally means to meek that animal. Now, a tongue that's untamed is a tongue that is wild. It's unfiltered. It often speaks before it thinks. It hurts feelings. Watch this. It's sarcastic. Ooh. It's a gift, really. Have you ever realized that? Just my mom, when I was growing up, my brother Greg has the gift, really, the sarcastic tongue. But I don't know, but it skipped a brother because Barry didn't really get it, but then it landed on me. And I remember times where we would drive down the road and my mom wore these nice little rings on her right hand. And she would be driving and she would say something and I would say something and it was so witty, right? But so sarcastic. And before I even realized it, she had backhanded me. And it's like, man, those rings. I mean, I would get to where I knew I didn't have a filter to keep it from coming out, but I could at least dodge the hand right before it came. And it's really a gift. My wife realizes this. It's a gift that I have. Listen, I can make light of my issue, can I? It's a tongue without a filter. The word sarcasm, it's two Greek words. Sarx is the Greek word flesh. Chasm is the Greek word to tear. When you and I are sarcastic, we literally tear each other down. We're literally tearing each other's flesh. The opposite of that is to edify, to build up, to encourage. Now watch this. When I am in the flesh, the words that come out of my mouth are sarcastic. How can I keep from being sarcastic? It's really not the absence of a filter. It's not using the filter. The filter is the Holy Spirit. See, I am either filled with the Holy Spirit or I am living in the flesh. And it's constantly a battle at which one I'm going to be. So what tongue? Is your tongue? Is it the unbridled tongue? A mouth without submission? Is it an uncontrolled tongue, a mouth without discipline? Is it an untamed tongue, a mouth without a filter? Or look at the last one in verse 11 and 12. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. The last tongue, it's an undecided tongue. It's a mouth without regard. Without regard for other people. You and I in our mouth have the ability to bless or curse. To build up, to tear down. To be positive or to be negative. You and I have the ability with our tongue, being filled with the Holy Spirit, to put blessing on people or to curse them. I'm not talking about voodoo. I'm talking about cursing them. We do this to our children. We either bless them or we break them down. We either build them up or we curse them. We cripple them for their future. We're either positive encouragement and reinforcement, or we're negative and pessimistic. Did you hear the story of the two little girls? My boys are sick and tired of this story. They could tell this story. Anytime one of them says something about a glass half empty, they hear the little girl's story. There were two little girls, and they were trying to do a study on the difference between optimism and pessimism. And so they found a little girl that was always negative. She was just negative Nelly. She always looked at things, and her cup was always half empty. And so they put negative Nelly in a room that was filled with toys all over the place. And they were some wonderful toys, but there was something wrong with every one of the toys. Now, this little bike over here was missing a wheel, but the wheel was over here. All of the parts were there, but there was something wrong. And Nelly had to figure out how to make them work so that she could have fun. But she sat in the middle of the room, disgusted that all of the toys were broken. And she sat there throwing a fit because there was nothing that she could play with. And then there was a little girl who was positive. And in that same room, they filled it up to her shins with manure. They opened the door, and they let this little girl walk in, and she just started throwing manure all up in the air. There was a smile on her face. The room was filled with joy as well as manure, and she just started hollering. With this much manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere, right? Who are you? The negative person who always looks at the class half empty. Are you the one who's always looking at the positive angle about things? Are you the one who is cursing, or are you the one who is blessing? Now, when I say cursing, I'm not talking about swearing. I'm not talking about speaking vile. That's the uncontrollable tongue. That's the one who has the short or the small vocabulary, who has to use words as adjectives that are explicit that other people shouldn't hear. Now, can I be honest with you? Those words don't offend me. They don't. I was around a guy this weekend, and it just seemed like every other word was a curse word. And here I am. God put me here with this guy, and he is just, I'm talking about, he'd make a sailor blush. And he didn't say a single word that offended me. You don't know why? There's two reasons. He didn't say a single word I'd never said before. Not a single word. And I'll tell you the other reason I wasn't offended by him. Because that man's lost. And you know how a lost person ought to act and a lost person ought to talk? They ought to talk like a lost person. The thing that confounds me and offends me is when a saved person speaks and acts like a lost person. That's what offends me, because a mouth like that is pushing people away from Jesus instead of bringing people to him. That's an uncontrollable tongue. I'm not talking about that type of cursing. I'm talking about cursing that is tearing and berating and being negative toward people. Can I tell you, there's some negative people in here. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even know if you know it. It's just become second nature to be negative. But can I tell you something? Can I let you in on a secret? When you're constantly negative, people want to saturate your presence with their absence. No one wants to be around a negative person. Nobody wants to hear all of the negative talk. Nobody wants to hear about how bad everything is in your life. People don't want to hear that. People don't want to be around that. You're not drawing people into your life. You're pushing people away. Now, if James could encourage his church to do anything in the midst of your horrible, rotten circumstances, where you are, not living at home, fearful for your life, in some horrible situations, listen, be positive. Blessing and cursing should not come from the same mouth. You and I have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. When you and I are filled with His Spirit, guess what comes out of our mouth? Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Gentleness. Goodness. And self-control. You see, those are the fruit of the Spirit that lives in us. When you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's that comes out of our lives. Now, every illustration James has just shared with us, he has looked at it from the negative. Listen. No animal, every animal's tamed. No one can tame the tongue. A fire, a great forest fire started with just a spark. It's uncontrollable. There's no way to stop it. It's devastating. It's set on, the tongue is like that. It's set on fire by hell. Every illustration comes at it from the negative. Why? Because James wants you and I to see this. No matter how saved you are, Satan wants to control your tongue. Amen. And you cannot control it alone. The only way to control your tongue is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's it. But I want you to know something. There is a battle that goes on inside of you. There is a battle. Are you going to live in the flesh, or are you going to live filled with the Holy Spirit? And as a believer, as a Christian, you and I are in a battle every single day. You may have won the battle yesterday. It has nothing to do with today's battle. You can lose that battle at lunch today. You can lose that battle in the parking lot today. Yesterday's victories have nothing to do with today's battle. You and I have to decide, I am going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The only way to control the tongue that's in my mouth is to submit my life to the authority of the Holy Spirit. Now listen. I realized James was speaking to his church as a pastor. I realized that James chapter 3, 1 through 12 is in the context of how a believer should speak. But I know this. Everyone in this room doesn't have the Holy Spirit in them. And you will fight a losing battle if you think you can control your tongue without the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, in a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And some of you have been in church and you understand this. Some of you haven't, or you've been in other denominations and faiths where they don't practice a public invitation. But here's the public invitation. Public invitation is just the RSVP. It says, hey, I want to invite you to something, and I'm going to ask you to respond to that invitation. Now, there's several responses to this invitation, because the message primarily was to the church. It was primarily to a believer. It was primarily to one who's already been saved. Here's the invitation. Submit your life to the authority of the Holy Spirit in your life. The only way to win the battle that all of us in this room struggle with is to live submitted to the authority of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so there are things that have come out of your mouth. There are things that you have said. There are things that you have hurt people with. And you may need to ask forgiveness for some of that. As a believer, forgiveness is kind of in our DNA. It's how we're supposed to live. We receive grace. We're supposed to ask for grace. We're supposed to give grace. And so maybe during the invitation, you know that you've hurt somebody over on this side of the sanctuary or up in the balcony or down here on the floor. And during the invitation, you know what? It'd be just like the Holy Spirit to lead you to go to that person. You've lied to them. You've gossiped about them. You've said something horrible about them. And it would be just like the Holy Spirit that occupies your life to lead you to go to that person and ask them to forgive you. Now, I'll tell you what, Satan will not lead you to do that. Only the Holy Spirit would lead you to do that. Now, listen, if somebody comes to you who has backbitten you, who has tail-bared against you, who has falsely accused you, who has said awful things about you, if somebody says that to you, guess what, as a believer, what you're obligated to do? Offer them grace. Because guess what? They struggle with the same tongue you struggle with. And you may not have ever done that to them, but you've done it to somebody else. And so offer them grace. It would be just like the Holy Spirit to move in our body right here in a way just like that. But you know what? Maybe that's the invitation you need to respond to. Maybe for some of us, it's not that we have to go to somebody, but we need to come to the Lord Jesus. Maybe you need to come to this altar. Maybe you've allowed your tongue to win battles in your life. Maybe you have allowed Satan to rule your tongue even since you've been a believer. Maybe you need to come here to the altar. What wouldn't it be just like the Holy Spirit to start a revival this morning on James chapter 3? Amen. Taming our tongue. Maybe you need to confess to the Lord this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to work and reign in your life. Now here's something else. James, this was not applicable in James' time. Maybe it's not your tongue that's the problem. Maybe it's not your tongue that needs taming. Maybe it's your thumbs. Boy, I tell you what, I can get on a soapbox, on social media, and never speak a word. I can get on Facebook and I can be as ugly as I could ever be and never speak a word. Maybe it's not your tongue that needs to be tamed. Maybe it's your thumbs that need some taming today. You would never say it out loud, but you would spray it all over social media. Listen, maybe that's your invitation. It'd be just like the Holy Spirit to send a revival through Facebook. Amen. You know what? Today, maybe you're here this morning and your tongue has won a lot of battles in your life. Maybe the Holy Spirit in your life is saying, you need to give me control of your life. You've been in control long enough. You need to allow me to come into your life, to take up residence in you, to pour out grace and to forgive you of your sins. But maybe today what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do is to be saved today. But maybe when you look at your life, it's like there's no evidence here of a redeemed individual. I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. I need to be saved. Whatever it is, whatever invitation you need to respond to, in just a few moments, our pastors are going to be here. Folks are already going to be moving. Ain't nobody going to look at you. And here's the deal. If you come down here to the altar, ain't nobody going to say, I knew it. The problem is in the pew. It's not at the altar. So if you need to come, and the Holy Spirit's leading you, come here, you go to each other, you come to Jesus, whatever the Holy Spirit's leading you to do this morning. Let me pray for us. God, you're good to us. Thank you for the truth of your word. God, thank you, Father, that your word is written not for us to become bitter, but for us to become better. God, you have given us your word to make us men and women and young people who fall in love and run after Jesus. God, make us look more like Jesus in everything that we say, in everything that we do. And God, if there's an issue in our mouth today, God, I pray, Father, that we would deal with that as the Holy Spirit convicts us. And Father, I pray that people would be saved today and that you would do a work that only you can do. And we give you this time. Have full freedom in this place. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.